Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us on another episode of Live with Joe. Of course, we have Joe McGee here. My name is Josh. And now we have a very special guest here today. Whoa. We have Pastor Craig Hagen. And Pastor Craig, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's so good to be with you guys.
Yeah, we're honored. We're going to have a lot. We're going to sign a lot of autographs for you leave today. Have you signed the front door? Yeah, he was here.
Well, for those of you that don't know, Pastor Craig is a pastor at Rhema Bible Church in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and they are an amazing church here in Oklahoma. But they are also a worldwide organization. Not only do they have an awesome Bible school here in Broken Arrow, but they also have, I think, the last amount I heard was like 271 campuses in 54 nations.
Yeah. I mean, no, those are approved campuses. Obviously, yeah. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 years before the campus actually opens up. But we've approved what you said, 270. I think it's 74 right now.
Wow.
274. I know we approved a couple more. It was like last week or 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
And it was amazing, though. We've actually started new campuses in the middle of COVID. You know, so in the middle of a pandemic, and it's pretty amazing.
That, and I believe in, you know, also it's awesome because all of our podcasts are Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and Craig has a podcast that actually posts Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
So if you've listened to us Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you need to go listen to Craig's podcast. And the best way to find it, you can find it on every platform.
It's pretty much
Spotify, Apple, Google Play, YouTube. I believe you're on iHeartRadio now.
iHeartRadio now. Yeah. Something called Podbean.
Podbean. We have that too. Yeah. So.
And then if you'll just put my name, Craig Hagen Podcast, and I pulled out platforms. I don't know where they get it from, but they have me on their platform. And in fact, we were just talking about, we're on, I think it's called Gaana, G-A-A-N-A. It's India's number one streaming site.
Come on.
So you know, what Rhema is doing is amazing. They're not only reaching people through their different podcasts and through the different media things that they're doing, but also through the schools. And these schools have generated tons of churches. So there's way more churches than there are schools even.
Over 3,000 worldwide churches. Pastored by immigrants.
Wow. And how many graduates are there now?
Worldwide, we have over 93,000 worldwide graduates. From the Rhema USA campus in Broken Arrow, we've graduated over 28,000, I believe.
Wow.
Is the numbers. I could tell you with my phone, but you know, I'm not going to open my phone. Around 28,000. It doesn't really matter. You know, give
close
or take.
Enough.
You
know, that's pretty so close. Awesome. And Rhema's been going for a long time. I know Joe was a former grad. I was a grad.
Well, you're not a former grad. You're just a grad.
You're a grad. Sorry.
I'm still here. Thanks, Pastor. I'm still here.
You're a former grad once you're former being alive.
So I graduated from the 40th class. And I think you guys are probably approaching almost 50.
I think it was 47 close. This year, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It's so, something. My math isn't as good sometimes on them. You know, but I think it's 47.
Wow.
I have to ask Dean Tad usually.
When I was in Missouri, we heard there was a Raymond church up in Cape Girardeau, and we went up there and they got Roger and Arnell Carball, and they said, "Would you go to Raymond 75? Where's this at?" Well, it's in Oklahoma. I didn't know they had a school. So what they do. So we went in 79. Piece of what happened. I said, "Well, changed my life forever. I was working as an engineer. My family thought I was in a cult. My son's gone crazy. They sent the Baptist diggers to my house to get me delivered. I said, I'm not in a cult. I'm just hanging out with the full gospel people." And so sold my house, quit my job. My family was just so devastated. But 5 years later, they said, "You heard from God, son. Haven't you heard from God?" Yes, I did. I didn't know at the time, but I did hear from God. But Raymond changed my life.
So you're a 1979 graduate?
79.
So that means that you were part of the tramp prophecy. You heard it live.
Yeah.
So, you know, which is a huge thing. If you'll just Google Kenneth Hagin tramp prophecy, I mean, it's all over the place.
It's so inspiring.
It's amazing. Yeah. And really, Raymond today is living out what was prophesied in 1979. You know, we are sending, not only are we sending Rhema graduates around the world, we are training Rhema students around the world. Yeah. And it is so awesome. One of my responsibilities at Rhema, besides being a pastor and doing whatever they tell me to do or I need to do. I guess I'm the – I found out one time I was looking at my thing. So, you know, everyone needs these really cool titles. So they call me the COO, the COO, the Chief Operating Officer. And so – whatever. I don't really care. I'm not real big on titles, you know. Because I know when, you know, I am also a Rhema graduate. I graduated from Oklahoma State University in 1991, graduated from Rhema in 1993. And when I was going to Rhema, the second, you could do, and you still can do it, kind of do it more third year, you know, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and all these kind of things. I actually went in the evangelist class, and somebody asked me, said, well, hey, are you a prophet? And I said, well, first of all, I can't be a prophet because we're a nonprofit ministry and we can't make a profit. You know, so I was just joking, whatever. But you know, people on Facebook want to be prophet so-and-so, evangelist so-and-so. Yes. I'm just Craig.
Yep.
You know, that's just me. I don't care if you want to call me reverend, irreverend, or whatever. You know, just don't call me stupid. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, thank you.
Actually, that is my book. I have a book called Don't Be Stupid.
I mean, Lord, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you know, we have Rhema, Rhema grads, Rhema students all around the world. And this is so awesome. The impact. And one of my responsibilities, once again, is the international schools.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to say that, you know, when myself and Dean Tad, who happens to be with your uncle.
Your
uncle. We took over, you know, from my parents over the international schools. And I believe that we had around 40 campuses at that time. And you know, this is, I don't know how many years, 15 years ago or whatever. And we went from 40 campuses to 274 campuses in just a short time. And it's not because me and Dean Tad are really awesome.
Yeah.
It's just because God's really awesome.
Yeah.
And all we did was we just got better communication among our schools, and, you know, because I said we want to have one school, one vision, one purpose, and the purpose of Rhema goes back to 1950 when the Lord told my grandfather to go teach my people faith.
Yeah.
And you know, and one thing my grandfather kept saying is I'm just one man. How can I teach faith, you know, to not only to this nation but to this world? And my grandfather was led to do a couple things. First of all, was to go to the radio. And start what they called Faith Seminar of the Air.
Yep.
And it aired a radio program, daily program. We still have it airing today. We call it Rhema for Today now.
Yeah.
And you can catch that on podcast. It has its own podcast as well. In fact, if you catch their podcast, my podcast also airs on their podcast, you know, so that way you get double duty.
There you go.
But it's called Rhema for Today, and you can get that pretty much anywhere as well. And then secondly, he told my grandfather to put all his messages in book form and tape form. Now, at first it was reel-to-reel tapes, and then it became cassette tapes, and then, you know, then we moved to CDs, and now we're moved to MP3s and DVDs and all that kind of stuff. And so, but you know, that our books and tapes went around the world, but still, he goes, I'm just one man, and the Lord said that, you know, you need to start a Bible school to train men and women the message of faith and how to be led by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we do. That's what our ministry does. A lot of ministries do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, I asked my mom, I don't know, about 5 years ago, you know, because I know people all over the world, and I really want to do things to be a help. And I noticed a lot of ministries, you know, I was watching, you know, sports, and they were digging wells in Haiti, you know, and I thought that was a really good thing. Or digging wells in Africa, or feeding hungry folks, or you know, setting up, you know, building orphanages and all that. I said, I can do that. You know, because I know people. I can set all that stuff up, and we can raise money, and we can do all these kind of things. And I went to mom all excited about all these things I thought we could do, and she said, "Well, that's great, but God called us to start Bible schools, you know, and so that's what we did. You got to do what God called you to do, and see." Our graduates, God's going to call them to start orphanages, to dig wells, to feed the hungry, to do, you know, to start rehabilitation centers. And so God put it on my heart. He says, see, we train visionaries. We cast a vision for, you know, so we train visionaries to get the vision to go do whatever needs to be done. Yeah. Now, some of our schools, you know, God has laid them on their heart in their country, you know, maybe to do some things like here, but you know, He didn't like you know, we at Rhema, we actually have, you know, not only do we have a Bible school, we have Oklahoma's largest daycare. Now, many people have said, well, why don't you guys start a K-12 school? And my dad's answer was always, because the Lord hasn't told us to.
Got it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so why do something the Lord hasn't told you to do? it's hard enough to do things the Lord has told you to do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That ought to be a bumper sticker.
But we're just excited about what Rhema is doing all around the world. And one thing, we always want to focus in on Rhema. Well, first of all, focus in on Jesus.
Yeah.
But secondly, you know, it's not about my grandfather, Kenneth Hagin. And obviously, if you Google his name, if you go to Wikipedia, he's the father of the modern day faith movement or whatever it might be. But it's not about Brother Hagin.
Yeah.
You know, it's about Jesus Christ. And one reason that we named our school Rhema, because it shouldn't be about a man.
Yeah.
It's about a mandate to go teach my people faith. And so that's what we endeavor. You know, there's a DNA that all of us Rhema graduates have. And I don't care whether you graduated from Rhema Brazil, Rhema India, you know, Rhema Japan or Rhema China or whatever. There's a DNA that we have. There's a kindred relationship that we have. You know, not even being around each other, just something we've been taught the same.
Yeah.
And we're endeavoring still to teach the same today. You know, people always ask me, Craig, what is your vision? And actually, you know, the movie Back to the Future kind of gave me the vision. We're going to go back to the future. We're going to continue to do in the future what we continue to do in the past. You know, and I actually, I mean, this is live, you know, this week. I was praying about how Rhema started.
Yeah.
And the reason that my grandfather actually came from Dallas here to Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, now we're in Broken Arrow, but first in Tulsa. For some of you don't know, Broken Arrow is a suburb of Tulsa. Yeah, yeah. You don't know when you're in one or out of the other. But we came to Tulsa. The reason we did it is because he was preaching with the Full Gospel Businessmen. And there were some local – actually, there was a businessman. Some of them were here in Oklahoma. Some of them weren't in Oklahoma. But they actually – you know, said, well, you should think about, you know, maybe moving your ministry, you know, here. And he goes, well, I don't know, you know, and, you know, but lo and behold, that not only did God say, you know, that would be a good thing, but secondly, these businessmen paid for him for the whole place to start.
Wow.
You know, and so, I mean, because he's like, there's no way, I can't buy, I don't have the credit to buy this building or whatever, and I don't want to put, you know, our ministry in debt. And these businessmen paid. And I just believe that there are some businessmen that are going to come together. I think that in this last day, you know, for this movement to happen, I think we need some businessmen to come together to help us to go out. I mean, you know, the dream of mine is actually to be able to. Right now, we have a lot of schools, and basically, our schools are almost like franchises. We give you the authority to teach the authority of the believer or whatever a material. But we can't help you. You gotta raise your own money. But it's been a dream of mine to say, okay, people say, well, where do you want your next school? I've never been able to decide that because, you know, so God has to call them to an area and then say, hey, we want to start a school. But I've been a dream of mine to be able to say, hey, we really want to start a school in blah, blah, blah country. And here's the money for 2 years. I think, you know, 2 years you can get established in 2 years. And you know, but what we need is we need some men and women, especially some businessmen or business women, you know, that of some influential means. And I believe God's bringing those people to pass.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I just think that we are living the last days. And I don't know. I was praying about that this week. Like I said,
it's the greatest time of human history.
Yeah.
People think, man, it's a bad time. People say, man, this is a bad time, Joe, to be having kids. No, this is the greatest time of human history to have kids, have grandkids, get married. This is the most awesome time. If you could have gone back in time and God could have taken you and said, son, when would you like to be born? I haven't created anything yet. Look down through time. And you said, well, here comes the earth and all that. Well, you want to be born with Adam and Eve? And I thought, no, that's going to go south. No, they're going to get fired, evicted from the house. No, they're, you like boats? And I love boats. Well, how about Noah and the ark? No, they're going to be on that boat with no rudder, no motor for a long time. No, thank
you. And a bunch of animals.
Yeah. Shoveling lots of stuff. But would you like to be born when Jesus comes there, silent night, holy night, and so you like, no, they're going to have people to cross 70 miles either side of Jerusalem. No, thank you. Well, son, you got to pick some time to be born. Well, God, if I have a choice, would you let me be born in the last days? When your spirit's poured out without measure, the sun starts going to prophesy and dream dreams. Like, I want to be here when everything's the hottest, man. When the trumpet sounds, I want to be the last person off this planet. Would you think, man, I stayed till the end. I got dirt on my fingernails. I locked up Jesus. Let's have dinner and go back. So it's an awesome time to be in the ministry. It's an awesome time right now.
Yeah, and last week we were actually talking about finding your place. And so there's some of you that don't necessarily feel called to full-time ministry, but maybe you are a businessman, maybe you are a businesswoman, and you have been working and God's been blessing your business. Well, that's a great way to find your place, is to get involved with ministries like Joe's and like Rhema that are continuing to expand into all the nations. And I believe that as you do so, you're going to see an even greater increase in your business. And we just love what Rhema is doing.
They're changing the world.
Yes.
I remember Brother Hagin, we went to school, and said, now he prophesied, like, listen, this is the last great message. This is faith. Without faith, you don't please God. Without faith, you don't whip the devil. This is something you got to have. So and I loved all the class that I had, Old Testament, New Testament. But I realized something. Whatever class I was in, I would go out and I'd say, what was that? That was about faith.
Yeah.
What's that? What's New Testament? What's that about? It was about faith. And when you got out on your own, you realize, what do you need? Man, I need my faith to work. Because you realize you had weak faith, little faith, no faith, strong faith. It's a muscle. I need to use it every day. This is critical. I need to know what I believe, and I need to have my face in my own Bible. And so, Rhema saved our life. I mean, piece of what changed you going to Rhema? And I remember Grandpa when he get on to people sometimes in that first year. He said, so many people living in sin. I thought, hey, Rhema? Somebody sent a Rhema? I got a lot, but would strike you dead. You can't do that. But you realize he was so good at handling this natural stuff. And he said, I'm going to give you a chance to repent. If you don't, I'll be looking for you on Friday. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And so I thought, it's so changed our life. You realize there's good and bad everywhere. There's stupid in every pool. You realize, what's going on? Well, there's good and there's bad in every bucket.
Yeah.
And so what do you – well, I'm hanging with the good, and I want to take what I've learned, and I want to try to get better with it.
Yeah.
So, like I said, Rhema, the message of faith, Craig, changed. It saved me. I wouldn't be here today. I had a great job as an engineer. I love what I was doing where I lived, but it wasn't God. It's like, how are you going to do this? So we were going to another Bible school in Texas. And at the last minute, I thought, I don't want to go to Texas. I want to learn for this guy in America. Because we'd listen to all Brother Hagin's, the old tapes, cassette tapes. And we'd get together families on the weekend. And so after we go to our own church, we bring food, get together at somebody's country house, and we'd have a cassette player. And we'd listen to Brother Hagin on the floor. Got another tape, put another tape on. And we were just so, oh, that's what faith is. That's what the Word of God is. It saved us. It changed our life. So I thought, no, I'm going. I'm going to Tulsa. And so my family thought I was nuts, but it took a while. I realized, no, you heard from God, son. Yes, I did. I did hear from God. And so people, was it easy? No, man. No, there's nothing easy. Hell made a run at Jesus every day of his life.
Yeah.
Hell made a run at Paul. What's wrong? People think, well, if I'm a Christian, hell won't bother me anymore. Oh, no. The day you get born again, you just woke hell up.
Yeah.
It's coming. So get your shield, get your sword. Enjoy the fight. You're promised victory, but you have to fight.
Yeah.
And that's what most Christians don't realize. So what Raymond has taught us about fighting for our faith, you get to fight, guys. You get to win, but you still have to fight. And it's like, oh, that's what real Christianity is. That saved our life. Saved our life.
And I love what Rhema's doing internationally, but you guys have really put a huge emphasis on reaching the community here locally as well.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I think that is something that's so important. When people think about missions a lot, they're always thinking about going internationally or going overseas, but missions really starts in our local community. And so I wanted to kind of give you the opportunity to talk a little bit about what Rhema's doing locally in the community as well.
Right. Well, first of all, let me say this about Rhema. Now, not only do we train people to go out and preach the gospel, we just train some people to learn more about the Word of God.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yes.
And maybe you're watching today and you think, well, I want to find more information about that. If you'll just go to rbtc.org, and you can watch a video, all kinds of other stuff. If you'll fill some information out, we'll have one of our specialists. I'm calling them our student ambassadors, and they'll give you a call. And if you want to, we'll set up a time for you to come and you can visit Rhema.
Yes.
Because there's something about coming on campus. Everyone says they came on campus. That's whenever they made the decision. In fact, we have student week. I'm not sure when we're going to air this podcast, but
next week.
Well, actually, we're having Rhema College Weekend April 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Yep.
And so, that'll be perfect for that. But even if you can't come then, we have other times to come. But talk about community. We have, not only we have a Bible school, we have Rhema Bible Church. And a church should be a part of your community. In fact, there was one of my friends, and I'm not going to mention about the church, or what the church's name was. This gentleman came to Rhema, and he actually was still, he went 2 years, Rhema, graduated, was still in Tulsa. And he says, Craig, I don't feel the Lord called me to Tulsa. So I went to XYZ Church. And the reason I did is because that church is about worldwide ministry. And I'm like, really? I said, that church is about worldwide ministry. So I said, well, that's not a scriptural church. And they're like, well, why not? I said, if they're more concerned about the world, not concerned about Tulsa, metropolitan where they're at, then that's not scriptural. We should be concerned about the world, but we should be concerned about, you know, where we're at. And you know, the Bible talks about, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. Well, Jerusalem is your hometown.
Yes.
Yep. And our motto at Rhema is we're bringing hope, help, and healing to the world. But that starts, you know, in your own community.
Yes.
You know, that starts, you know, with being a part of the community. And one of the biggest outreach we do, and I know it sounds like a weird outreach, but back a number of years ago, back in the 80s, and you have to understand that Tulsa was the oil capital of the world.
Yes.
And you know, and our main industry for a long time was only oil. Well during some times in the 80s, you know, the oil boom went down. Yep. And there was all, I mean, there were people that were losing jobs and all kinds of stuff. And some of the Christmas displays around the area decided that you know, one of them actually was a place that they were an oil type place, and they couldn't afford to put Christmas lights up. So my dad goes, you know what? The city of Broken Arrow and Tulsa have been so nice to us. We're going to put some Christmas lights up. And I think we had about 20 or 30, 40,000 Christmas lights. And, you know, and that was great. Everybody really liked it. And we put more Christmas lights up and more Christmas lights up. And then pretty soon that we were ranked one of the top 10 Christmas light displays in the country.
Come on, it all is. Right?
And so then we were having over 1 million Christmas lights. And then we had over 2 million Christmas lights. And coming up, 2021, we are going to have 3 million Christmas lights. It's our 40th anniversary of putting up Christmas lights.
Oh, man.
And, you know, you say, well, that's really kind of a weird outreach. Well, you spend a lot of money. But you know what? Jesus is the light of the world.
Thank you.
And, you know, you just can't believe whenever you see these children, when they come on campus and their light. I love it whenever, especially if they're there when the lights come on, because then all of a sudden they see all and they're like freaking out. And well, adults are freaking out too, how awesome it really is. And actually, if you now with Google, if you type in Rhema Christmas lights on YouTube or whatever, there's all kinds of people who have visited, people's been married, people's you know been engaged, and all kinds of stuff, you know, at a Rhema Christmas lights. But we actually turn our lights on. It's really easy to remember. It's always the day before Thanksgiving, if we turn them on. We turn them off normally around January the 1st. It depends on the weekend. If the weekend is like, you know, Sunday is like the 2nd or 3rd, then it'll go through whatever the last day of the weekend is.
Yeah.
And if you can get to the Tulsa Broken Arrow area during that Christmas season, it's something to see. Yeah, like I said, this is our 40th anniversary. And really, we're just showing forth that Jesus is the light of the season, because that's about Christmas. And that's about Jesus. Yep. You know, we're coming up on Easter, and that's about Jesus.
Yep.
You know, and so, and yeah, it kind of sounds like a lot of weird outreaches, but you know, a number of times that we've actually had, you know, kids come to our children's church, and they kind of ask, well, what brought you guys, you know, there, talk to their parents, and said, well, we brought our kids to see the Christmas lights, and they said, well, I'd like to see what's going on at that church.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
thank you.
You know, and people call us a Christmas light church.
Yes.
You know, and that's okay. I don't mind, you know, because,
you're shocked how many unbelievers come to see that.
Oh, yeah. But,
man, the lost are coming by the carload to see that thing.
Yes. And, you know, and not everyone that comes to see our Christmas lights, you know, are getting saved, and we realize that, you know, but.
Yeah, but it's a seed in the ground.
Yeah, it's you're a opening a door.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of times we can preach the gospel without ever opening our mouth.
Yeah.
And the deal is that we as Christians, you know, if people, I always kind of joke, you know, even from when we have big meetings coming in, people coming in from the outside, I said, you know, if you're not going to be nice to your servers and the people, make sure you take your badge off. Make sure you don't tell them you're here for a Rhema event. You know, because we actually have a pretty good name in this city.
Yeah.
You know,
yes, great.
You know, and so in fact, I had a guy call me the other day. He says, "Hey, I need to find some other Rhema students to come to work for me." In fact, he goes, "I don't even know if I hire, you know, people all the time. People are always running through. I'll hire some if they're a Rhema student. I'm just going to hire them anyway. You know, even if I don't need them, because I've only hired." He said, "I did hire one bad one." You know, but see, the thing that I don't have to teach with your students is I don't have to teach integrity.
Come on.
You know, because you do.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to teach you know how to live, because this is a Christian, you know, he don't have to have a Christian business, but he's a Christian businessman and wants Christians who work for him. According to the regulations, he's not going to advertise that on, 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 on application. But he goes, I would rather have Christian, you know, not, you know, people. In fact, this guy is so committed. If you're not a Christian, he'll pay you $40 to come to church your first time. You know,
I'll buy you lunch. Yeah. Go to church.
And I think he does buy you lunch after church. You know, if you'll come with him to church. You know, so. So, but you know, it's just awesome, you know, and I do believe that we should be a part of the community. Yeah. I personally now have been getting involved in all kinds of things in the community, mainly because I think from a political standpoint, you know, what's going on, that the Christians have not taken their stand.
We've not been the salt we should have been.
You know, and so, and I personally believe that we should have some Christian candidates that are qualified.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're qualified to be a candidate. I mean, there's people that I haven't voted for. They're Christians, you know, because, you know, you need to be a Christian first, but, you know, you need to be constitutional. And you also need to be a representative of the people that you know, of your district.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's what you – and you know, and you have a backbone to stand up and believe what you believe. And that's – and I believe that men and women, you know, should run for office. In fact, the other day someone was telling me, he said, do you realize the most influential offices that we don't even think about is the school board? Do you realize the school boards around America are the ones that determine whether they're having school or not now?
Yep.
You know, exactly right. And in fact, I think I can't. My dollar figures may be way off. You know, I'm not trying to pull a Joe Biden here, but you know, I don't know if I can say that on the podcast.
Yeah, you can. Okay.
I say that on my podcast, but I don't know. You know, but I know sometimes he got confused on his numbers, right?
Yeah.
But if I remember right, it was like something like in Oklahoma, I believe that we give, and this might be a wrong number, but it's a big number. I think he said $181 million are. You know, funded for all the schools in 77 counties in Oklahoma. So the $181 million, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And these school boards are the ones that are determining that. Now, here in Tulsa County, we have a number of different schools, you know, so there are a number of different school boards. But, I mean, there's a lot of money that they're control of, you know, and that's our money that we pay taxes for.
Yeah, it's tax dollars.
You know, and so sometimes we think, well, it's always a government official that's controlling that. No, it's not.
Nope.
I mean, you know, if you look at your what you pay for real estate taxes, and it tells you how much went to this school and how much went to that school and how much went to another school. And so, you know, I would like some accountability. Who's controlling my money? You know, because they're taking a lot of it. You know, for me living where I live.
Yep.
So, so running for the school board, running for you know the county and city elections and things like that. I've been very involved, and even getting more and more involved. Although I'm kind of weird, okay? Because I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. All right. We doing this broadcasting. We actually are here in Bixby, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I live on the Tulsa Bixby line, meaning I live in Tulsa. I have Bixby water. I have Bixby sewer. I have Bixby telephone, and I have Bixby school system. So my money goes to the Bixby, you know, school board.
Yeah.
You know, and then our ministry is in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. So there's like three cities I feel I'm involved in.
Yeah.
You know, but because our ministry is one of the, we bring more people to Broken Arrow than any other company in any business. So I've been trying to get more involved, especially in Broken Arrow politics.
Yeah.
Not necessarily running for office, but you know, like I said, I had an event just the other day. We raised money for a dog shelter. There was a gentleman who comes through, and his passion, his goal, raise money for dogs, and that's a huge problem. My wife's a dog lady, and so he was coming through town, said, I want to raise money for your dog shelter. Happened to be one right behind Rhema, and so they got us involved, and I called the mayor, got him there, called city council, and if it wasn't for me, we wouldn't have all those people. It's because I had that connection that whenever I asked the mayor to come, he came, because the guy told us on Thursday he's going to come on Saturday. I mean, that's like a two-day notice, and I give the mayor a one-day notice, and so it's like, you know, but thank God that we have some really good city officials in Broken Arrow, and it's really been a blessing to us, and I feel that we as a church, you know, not just Bible school, but as our church, we should get involved in our local city.
Yeah.
And I believe that, you know, we need pastors and you know, ministers to be involved in the city. I mean, more than just praying at some kind of event.
Yeah.
I mean, because usually the pastors and stuff are involved in, you know, it's prayer time. Okay, let's get Pastor so-and-so to pray at our event. But, you know, I just don't want to be a prayer.
Yeah.
I want to be a part of the community.
Yeah.
And I believe that's also, too, I mean, this is a church growth thing. I believe as we be a part of the community, I'm meeting people that I would have never known before, that they don't know, that, you know, they might not come to my church, but now I've found out what they're doing. They're watching my service on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, then they watch, then they kind of trickle into the service later on. And we are doing, have a, here at Raymond, we have live services. Thank God. I thank God, you know, for the opportunity, because I talk to my pastor friends, they haven't had church in a year. You know, live services. I know, obviously, you travel, you know, a bit. I mean, you know, so it's pretty wild out there, you know. And, but the Bible says in Hebrews, to not forsake the assembly ourself together.
I think it's real clear.
And I know, you know, my grandfather was huge on that. In fact, he would say, you know, part of the problem is you don't have a good home church.
Yeah.
And we need to have a good Bible-based home church that preaches the full gospel, not just a partial gospel. Yeah. We have a lot of partial gospel churches. Because there are things that we can preach. We know. We all know we can preach on something that's real, that everyone loves.
Real bland. We can get real bland and not offend anybody.
Yeah. We don't offend anybody, and everyone's, you know, and a lot of the big churches, the reason they're big is because they don't offend anybody, and not we don't try to offend anybody. Yeah. We try to be ourselves, and myself, and I know you, Joe. We use humor, you know, and you know,
both of you. Guys,
and so
I think Jesus used humor. It's just some stuff's just funny. Even God gets tickled at stuff. Lord have mercy.
Yeah. So like the other day, I spoke at something, and it was more a political type event, and I just said a few words or whatever, and this guy goes, "You guys, you're so hilarious." I'm like, I wasn't even trying to be funny. I was actually trying to be serious, because it was supposed to be a serious event. So, but they thought I was funny. It's just me. That's just my personality. And I believe that, you know, we should have more of that, because, you know, the joy of the Lord's our strength. The Bible says, you know, merry heart knows good like a medicine. And so, if you're really, you know. We sing in children's church Sunday school, if you're happy, you know it, clap your hands. Yeah. Well, you know, Christianity is more about just clapping your hands, you know, and stomping your feet.
Yeah.
You know, it's, in fact, I actually told, you know, I preach this a lot. I said, you know what, you know, if you're not happy, start clapping your hands. And pretty soon you're going to start laughing because you remember that song. and you're like, what are you doing? I'm being happy.
Yeah, I'm just making myself happy.
But, you know, I think community is very important. Yeah. Sorry, I know it was a long answer.
No, that was great.
No, that's perfect.
But you brought up a point, too, that I was wanting to go over, is because both of you, something I admire is that you're not afraid to be yourself. And what people really want are authentic people that aren't trying to act like somebody else. And, Craig, I know you with your grandfather and your father. Sometimes there can be external pressure to be a certain way. But I wanted to ask you, what was it like for you to really find your voice? How did you connect to yourself and then start
people
just...
People love you because you're
yes,
you.
Yes, people love
That's
you
why
for
people
you.
Love you.
Well, you know, I mean, I will say, you know, growing up, I actually watched my dad struggle, you know, a little bit. Because, you know, in his own mind, he goes, you know, I want to be able to live up to you know, my grandfather. And, you know, and I love my dad, but I know that was always in the back of his mind, because he felt that people were always saying, well, you're not like... You know, you're. I mean,
yep, there's
you know,
the comparison.
I'm probably more like my grandfather than he is. You know, we're all different.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm more funnier than my grandfather. You know, but actually, you know, a lot. If you would know him, he would like to joke around.
Yeah.
But he was a very shy person. So really, when it comes to, you know, speaking, he didn't really let that side of him, you know, come out. So whenever I started, actually before I even started ministry, one of the first things I started doing is I have to make announcements. You know, and so I decided that I'm going to be myself, and I want everyone to like me, but I'm not going to try to make you like me.
Yeah,
and so I've never tried to be like my father, be like my grandfather. I've never let that pressure bother me, but because
that's very
I try to be, Craig, and you know, and Craig's not like, you know, now I can like, I have a class, you know, right now, Faith Library, you know, so to, you know, actually. The first two sessions was more about the history of the ministry. So today was my first time, and so it's now Faith Is. And I can preach, you know, Hebrews 11:1 just as good, or actually probably better than my grandfather. And the only reason I can say better, and I'm not trying to be, is because one thing my grandfather couldn't figure out is why you didn't believe. You know, he always thought, you know, understand, because he came off a deathbed.
Yeah.
And so when you can believe God to come off a deathbed, you know, how hard is it to believe God for $10,000?
Yeah.
I mean, so in his mind, he's like, well, you just believe. Well, so my mind, I realized, because I've had people come and, you know, because they don't want to ask him, they ask me, well, Craig, I mean, how do you do that or whatever? So what I know, I realized, and that's why I really pushed, you know, John 10:10, and when I said, I didn't say this, Jesus did. All right. And what he told us, and guys, I know you guys are good Christians or whatever, but the thief is still going to come to steal, kill, and to destroy.
Yeah.
Now, New Living Translation said the thief's purpose, or El Diablo, the devil, his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, think about that. Stealing from you is one thing. No, has you ever got something stolen out of your car or had your car stolen? I've had both. You know, I mean, it just feels like, you know, yuck. I mean, you know, or you know, I don't like a thief. But you know, then I said then the word kill. I mean, kill, if you're killing, you're not around anymore. I mean, you know, so how can you destroy someone after you've stolen from them, you killed them? And then it started hitting me. Destroy is destroying your legacy.
Yes.
You know, destroying your family. Yeah, destroying. Yes. And a lot of times what happens is the devil will try to destroy your family or attack your family because attacking your family attacks you. You know, and so, you know, but Jesus then comes back and he also says, but I have came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Or New Living, it says, rich and satisfying life. And so it says, even though the devil's an idiot, he's going to try to do all kinds of things to you, I came that you can have a rich and satisfying life. And so what I want to point out is the devil's going to attack you. You know, I don't care. You can be the best Christian in the world. You know, I mean, I've heard pastors, you know, people that want to go pioneer a church, and they're talking about, well, all these bad things are happening. I'm like, that's just like the devil.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you must be doing really good things.
You're out on the front line,
and they're like, well, you know, that's not encouraging. You know, I said, well, the thing about it is I expect the devil to attack me every day.
Yeah.
I mean, this morning he attacked me with me not waking up with my alarm. I'm actually pretty confident. I don't think it went off, but I think it probably snoozed it in my sleep. And I woke up 20 minutes later than I needed to, and I was late to class. You know, and obviously that didn't kill anybody, but but you know, it made me rush to get ready for thing. And you know, I told you, I usually use my iPad as my notes, and my iPad didn't charge last night, so we had a great day. So it's an awesome day, because this is a day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it, and we really mean that. See, a lot of people say that, but they don't mean it.
No, nope.
You know, but I really mean. I mean, I'm happy every day, and I think that's part. Like I said, you know, I know Joe and I a lot alike, and part of our, you know, humor. We just enjoy our day. Yeah. We enjoy everything.
Yeah, you just got new sermon material.
Yeah.
Let's get to the brand new sermon material, man.
Yeah.
That's gonna be great.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just a happy-go-lucky person, not trying to be like anyone. You know what? There's only one person I want to be like. I want to be like Jesus.
Yep.
You know, and you know, the only personality traits I really want to have is his personality traits. I want to love people regardless of who they are. I mean, think about this. When Jesus is hanging on the cross, I mean, it's Easter time. We're thinking about Jesus on the cross. And he said the most important thing, Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they did.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, they don't have a clue, you know, and so, you know, because they're all crying, you know, crucify him, you know, but, you know, we talk about God is love, and Jesus was a personification of what God's love on the earth. And so if we want to see how much God loves us, we need to see Jesus and how much, you know, because ultimately we all know that he let that happen.
Yep.
You know, he could have done something about it. But you know, said, you know, he said, even he realized he tried to do another way. He said, Lord, if there's any other way,
I realize what this is. You know, can we do this some other way?
You know, because, you know, he lived as a natural man, and so he had natural emotions just like we have.
Yeah.
Obviously, it came out in the money changer situation.
Yeah.
And, that was in Mark 11.
Man, yeah. That...
So, but you know what? I just try to be like Jesus.
Yeah. And Joe, what about you? Because I know you, whenever the way you minister, I've heard people, and we've seen comments all the time being like, wow, I've never heard somebody explain it like that. But you just kind of, you don't try to fluff it up.
Well,
how'd you learn how to do that?
What Craig just said is a revelation, because when you get to that point where you're not trying to prove anything anymore, you can just be you. And there's an incredible boldness in that. I got nothing to hide.
There's also freedom.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. I got nothing to hide. Yeah. Whatever you want to say, go ahead. You know, I got nothing to hide. I'm me, you know. And I got caught. My board told me 27 years ago when I first started, and we had a meeting, an annual meeting. And he said, Joe, don't ever try to be like somebody else. Please be, just stay you. Don't try to clean up your stuff or you speak better or whatever. Just be you. And when you see it, somebody, I just think, hot dog, man, Grandpa be downright proud. I mean, look at him. He's just comfortable. I mean, then now, when you get up, I'm never even as funny. Yeah, and I know you're not trying to be funny. Like, God dang, that's the funniest announcement I've ever heard. That was awesome.
Yeah, I remember we were in Darrow, Louisiana, doing a meeting, and Reverend Jesse the Planist came to our meeting. And so, and I really didn't know him. You know, I knew him, but he didn't really know me much. I mean, he might have known my name. So I did announcements. And so that night, after a bunch of ministers together, he goes, "I got to go meet this guy. I mean, he's the funniest guy I've ever seen."
Just you being
know,
you.
You know, and I was just being me.
You, man. You know, and people love that.
You know, that's just what I do. I be myself. And, I don't feel any pressure to be anything else. I mean, ultimately, I get, in the back of your mind, there is pressure. Yeah. But there's
well,
not
I wanna,
really.
I want to please God.
Yeah.
I fear God. Pray to Father, teach me to fear you. Teach my family to fear you. That's what I want. I want to do what's right. And I'm going to learn how to repent quick and forgive quick. I tell people, if you don't repent quick and forgive quick, you're what we call spiritually constipated because there ain't nothing moving in you. So you got to keep free. No, just roll that over into God, man.
But, sometimes actually I've found out because I use humor, sometimes I can step on people's toes and do it funny. that they take that correction better than they would.
Yes, they do. Thank you.
Yeah, because because I'll just kind of put it in a funny situation, but that's I know I'm being funny, but I'm kind of serious too. Yeah. I mean, and so sometimes you bring forth the point that people didn't realize.
You can get people laughing. It's like,
yeah,
did he just get on to me?
Well,
I think he did, but that was funny.
And obviously, if you ever had a public speaking class, they tell you to open up with a joke. I don't have a joke. The joke's kind of me.
I know.
I mean, sometimes I can't remember jokes half the time or whatever.
I know, I mess them up.
But I just try to be funny. And once you get people funny, you get them comfortable and they'll listen. And, and then a lot of things too is I'm a former youth minister. So I'm used to kids not listening.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I come up with weird things. Like I said, my message this last Sunday was be a donkey. It was Palm Sunday and talking about Jesus riding in on a donkey. Yeah. And so that was, my whole point is that I'm not trying to be Jesus. I'm trying to be a donkey. I'm trying to carry Jesus to the world, just like the donkey carried Jesus there. And we went to all kinds of other funny things.
It was so good. I just recommend to go to, I believe it's Rhema Bible Church Facebook or Rhema.org.
Yeah, or actually, the easiest way is to go to YouTube. Go to the Rhema USA channel, and you can look up last week's message.
Yeah.
And you can fast, if you want to do this praise and worship part, fine. But, we have 40 minutes praise and worship, fast forward all that to get to my be a donkey message.
You need to listen to it, because one thing that I realized while Craig was giving that message was, wow, this is amazing, and I could never give this message because I'm totally different than him. And it's the same with Joe, is if we try to emulate somebody else.
Joe can preach my message.
Yeah, Joe could. And I was actually thinking that might be something we need to replay, because that was good. But, if I tried to give up and give that message, it's not going to go over, because Craig's personality is supposed to reach certain people. Yeah. Joe's personality was made to reach certain people. My personality is going to reach certain people.
Yeah, you're not
and
for
we
everybody.
Need all of us working together to reach everyone. And so accepting who you are is really a first step into, taking a really first step into what God wants you to do.
You're not competing with anybody.
Yeah.
You're
just trying to be you. There's no competition. I'm not trying to be like them or them. No, I'm just trying to be me. So if I be me, God's going to be pleased. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make God smile. I want to hear, well done. When I get to heaven, I want to hear one word. Well done, son. Thank you, Father.
And I want that to be a long time down the road, too.
Yeah, long time.
Yes. Yeah, as we get older, Joe,
I tell people, I want to live to be at least 100. I want to be the last person off this planet. I joke all the time because we had family funerals at the house. We had an embalmer, didn't have a funeral home. Small town, mining community. So they bring the dead body in the night before the funeral, and you raise the lid up, and they'd move the couch all the way. We'd eat fried chicken, potato salad all night long. And then you talk good about them. Then you better get full of food. Then you talk ugly about them. About 3 o'clock in the morning, you just stick them in the ground. And by the time the sun came up, you're ready to bury them. It helped the grieving process a lot. Come on, I want to take a nap. Get them in the ground. And I used to think, we made fun of it, but it was good. And so I remember my first dead body was a great aunt. I was 7 when she passed away. And my dad would always put her with the casket. He said, son, tell her bye. Well, I go next to that's my great aunt. They never wore makeup. Yeah. They got her painted up like a $2 streetwalker. I said, she never wore makeup. And so I touched her, and she was hard as a two before. And I had a revelation. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, dear Lord, this is where we're going. If Jesus tears, I'm going to end up in a box one day, 8 foot under. And I had a revelation. I thought, I better get busy living. Because every day goes by and I don't get back.
Yeah.
I'm going to do everything I can, go everywhere I can, say everything I can. I'm not sitting still. I'm going to do something somewhere for somebody. And so it changed my life. That funeral changed my life. It just did. Like, I'm going somewhere, boys. We're going to do the best I can with everybody I meet. Going to leave everybody better than I find them. That's what I want to do. And sometimes people don't like you, and you can't do a thing about that. They don't like you. God bless you. Go with God. I can't help that. I'm not going to waste my time trying to make you like me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. No, we're so thankful for, again, what Rhema is doing. And we just want to encourage everyone, whether you feel called to ministry or you just want to learn more about the Bible, rbtc.org, correct? Yeah. That's where you want to go. And I remember whenever I was thinking about becoming a student, I was extremely nervous because I was like, I was asking people, how much of the Bible do I need to know before I come?
No,
like,
is there? I don't want to get embarrassed.
I was like, and so like even at Rhema, I was taught the book of the Bible song, which I had never heard before. So now if the pastor says turns to this, I can sing the song real quick and go to those pages. And so it doesn't matter what level you're at in your Bible knowledge, Rhema is a great place for you to learn only about God, but also start practicing your relationship with God. And it's really, it's a 2-year investment. There's other years you can go, but that 2-year investment is going to pay off for many, many years. And also decades. For generations, it's going to affect your children and their children. I'm a third generation Rhema grad. And so I'm just living proof that, you know, your decision may affect generations to come. So again, rbtc.org is where you want to go look. And again, Craig's podcast, you can just search his name, Craig Hagen.
You're going to love it.
Yeah, whatever platform. Love it. And you know, there was somebody that you had before we wrap up here, Grady Pickett.
Yeah, Grady. He's a great guy.
Great guy. And I believe he's a Rhema grad. His wife is as well. And they were actually in Iraq, or they are currently, and they've been doing some amazing things. And so he has some awesome guests on all the time, people from all around the world.
From around the world.
Yeah.
And one thing we're trying to do, and you know, we've had a lot of ministers, but we're also trying to, right, so far, every guest we've had is a Rhema graduate.
Yeah.
And we are going to have other people at some point in time, but we're trying to showcase our graduates. And I'm trying to actually, I've had a lot of ministers now, and we've had a few businessmen, but we want to going to have some business people to show that some people graduate from Rhema and are successful in business and doing great. In fact, Aaron Antis with Shaw Homes, which is Oklahoma's largest home builder here in Oklahoma, and he says that if he wouldn't have went to Rhema, he couldn't be doing what he's doing today. And he said everything that I do, you know, and he's thinking, oh, you're just a home builder. He goes, no, man, I have to follow the leading of the Spirit. And sometimes even right now, buying lumber at the right place at the right time, you know, is a big deal.
Just to get up in the morning, man.
So you know, it's just pretty awesome, you know, what Rhema's doing, not only, you know, to anybody that wants to learn more about the Word, rbtc.org.
Yeah. Yep. And so, guys, we encourage you to go there and check it out. Also, check out the podcast. And we just want to thank you again for all of our partners that are helping us put
on
podcasts like this.
Thank you, guys.
You know, you help us reach families and rebuild and repair and restore relationships through their knowledge of God's Word. So thank you for joining us for another episode.
Just
appreciate
being you, brother. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, guys. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.